Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us. But on the way to the conversation, I'm going to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's national foreclosure settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or 877-462-7555. We are now joined by Sam Faddis, who's a former CIA operations officer, author of many books, including Beyond Repair, Willful Neglect, Codename Aphrodite, and then his new novel, Barbosa, and Shahid Buttar, who is executive director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. And Shahid and Sam, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Thanks so much for having us, Mark.
And the number here is 410-319-8888. Let me start, Shahid, if you could talk about this vote that just took place in Congress to cut funding from the NSA and what it might reveal about American politics today. Those who opposed it were almost all Democrats and some Republicans, but in the main, Republicans voted for it and went along with President Barack Obama, his own party kind of voting against him. But they've been called, those who were against it, even though there were a lot of them, the wingnut contingent by most. They're saying either left-wing Democrats or crazy libertarian Republicans. What does that say about us and what was going on there?
Yeah, it says a lot. It was a huge, momentous moment. I should just note my name, Shahid.
I'm sorry, Shahid.
No worries. Last week's vote was huge, and I would maybe recharacterize a piece of it.
Please do.
The vote split both the Democrat and Republican caucuses in the House, and it is true that a majority of Democrats voted to defund the NSA's program, while a majority of Republicans resisted that initiative. But remember, it was an amendment introduced by a Republican and supported most vocally, or notably, I should say, by James Sensenbrenner, a Republican who at one point was the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, the author of the Patriot Act, who himself said that when he wrote and introduced the Patriot Act, he never contemplated that it would be abused in the way that it has been, first under the Bush administration and now since then under the Obama administration. And the vote indicates that across ideology, regardless of one's political perspective, there remain some members of Congress who understand their oaths of office and suggest that there are some fundamental values, like the right to be free from arbitrary and pervasive dragnet domestic spying, that still unite we, the people of the United States, despite our respective differences.
And Sam, how did you read that? I'm curious in terms of the political writing you've been doing on your site. Sam, you with us?
Yeah, I just came up, Mark, so I missed the original question. I just heard the tail end of that response.
Oh, I'm sorry. Shahid Buttar was responding to the question that I asked, which was that when you looked at the vote that took place in Congress to cut the funding of the NSA, it was an interesting coalition, as he was pointing out, of Democrats and some Republicans. Some people wanted to dismiss them as kind of, even though it was a very close vote, as the wingnut contingent, because they said there were left-wing Democrats and right-wing libertarians. But I thought it was a significant effort by a group of congressional representatives across party lines to say that we don't want domestic spying. Well, what was your take on it?
I think it's a big mistake to dismiss it as a bunch of wingnuts. And I think it is a significant thing, and I think it's a positive thing, quite frankly. I mean, I as you know, sort of end up in the middle on this equation, but, I mean, I'm not willing to say that there should not be any kind of programs of this type, but I think it is indisputable that that we have overreached, that it's too broad. And, frankly, I think part of that is sold on sort of, you know, false representations that, you know, the choice is either between disaster or sacrificing all of your individual freedoms, which I think is really a false choice.
Well, how deep do we think this goes? I mean, Glenn Greenwald came out with some details, Shahid, the other day, where he talked about the NSA, quote, he said the NSA has trillions of telephone calls and emails in their databases they've collected over the last several years. And what these programs are very simple screens like the ones the supermarket clerks or shipping and receiving clerks use, where all an analyst has to do to enter an email address or an IP address, and it does two things. It searches a database and lets him listen to the calls or read emails of everything the NSA has stored, or look at browsing histories or Google search terms that you've entered, and it also alerts them to any further activity that people connected to that email address or that IP address to do in the future. That's the quote from Glenn Greenwald, Shahid.
You know, this program goes well beyond anything that's been publicly confirmed, and even the disclosures by Edward Snowden reveal mere tips of the iceberg. I've heard a lot over the last several weeks about the distinction between content and metadata, but just for instance, to note how limited the discussion has been to this point, all the stuff you've heard about content versus metadata regards only a single disclosure, right? The Section 215 order that revealed that the government was essentially tapping the phones of all Verizon business customers, including the organization I run, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, which has since sued the NSA, with 20 organizational plaintiffs from around the country and the political spectrum represented by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. That was the only disclosure that regarded metadata. The PRISM program, which was revealed by Glenn and Edward Snowden soon afterward, was a content program. What else remains beneath the surface and what else we will learn about through further leaks is anyone's guess. I mean, according to the members of Congress who sit, or pardon me, according to the NSA whistleblowers who have resigned their careers to alert the public to these otherwise secret abuses, the NSA is basically collecting everything. I mean, this is like the nightmare that George Orwell envisioned when, you know, talking about the Panopticon in his dystopian science fiction novels. You know, there's never been in human history a degree of civilization-wide monitoring as pervasive as what the United States is currently deploying in waging a war on the American people. Now, it may well be the case that contemporary China has us outflanked, but that's the only possible contender. East Germany and up until the 1980s, even the former Soviet Union, none of those countries monitored their citizens as much as the United States government does today. And that should give anyone in our country a good deal of concern.
And Sam, as you write a lot on issues of liberty and freedom, and as a former operations officer, intelligence officer, I mean, is this the kind of metadata that you think is needed?
No, I mean, I think that's the other side of the coin here. I mean, I'm not dismissing the civil liberties concerns, which are huge and ought to be the number one thing that we ought to be concerned about, obviously. But I think there is a more practical concern, which is that the utility, while it's dangerous and frankly scares the hell out of me, the utility is not nearly as great as is represented by the people that deploy these things and frankly then get the budgets for ungodly amounts of money to fund it. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, when people are asking the question, well, So we've allowed this to happen, and we have this vast program going on. So show me all of the incredible utility of this. Show me all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of attacks and thousands of lives that have been saved. And when people go back up to the Hill and sort of scrape everything together, there's not a lot there. There was a lady on your program a few weeks ago when I was on with you last, who at some point or another said that, you know, the answer to a lot of this is a lot less reliance on this and a lot more old-fashioned shoe leather.
Mm-hmm.
And as an intelligence officer and a human guy, that would be my take, too. Stop with the hundreds of zillions of dollars and sacrificing everybody's civil liberties, and let's focus more on utilizing these capabilities in situations where we actually have evidence that somebody's doing something wrong.
But and it seems, Shahid, that what we're learning here, this is really pervasive. I mean, if it's as pervasive as it appears, but a poll shows that the majority of Americans really don't disapprove of this. So what's your political take on this?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely crucial that we raise our voices across our various differences to speak truth to power and insist on the restoration of fundamental constitutional norms. And politically, I think this is a moment of reckoning because we've seen presidential administrations in each of the major corporate political parties, as well as the leadership in Congress of each of the major corporate political parties, unite around these unconstitutional abuses. And it's incredibly revelatory that progressive Democrats from the left, libertarian Republicans from the right, and even like James Sensenbrenner, some traditional law and order conservatives who do still believe in the Constitution, come together to champion these issues. And even while the vote last week in the House to defund the NSA through the Defense Appropriations Bill, even though that measure was defeated barely by only 6 votes in a chamber with 430 members, there are any number of other vehicles that are being proposed. I mean, there are at least a dozen pieces of affirmative legislation that have been introduced by voices as diverse as Senator Rand Paul and Senator Patrick Leahy, you know, coming from Kentucky and Vermont. You could not fathom more distinct political figures, but they agree that NSA spying is problematic, and there are all these different proposals in the mix now that would do something about it. I think it will be very interesting to see in August when members of Congress leave Washington to return home to their districts, and I think particularly of Representative Dutch Ruppersberger, who represents an area outside Baltimore, and voted to insulate the NSA from its constitutional abuses, how much heat these members of Congress feel from their constituents, I think will go a long way to determining how this political struggle ultimately shakes out. And the last thing I'd say here is that while we're talking particularly about dragnet domestic spying at the moment, there are any number of other civil liberties abuses that the Edward Snowden disclosures and the resulting controversy create political space to reconsider. And I would include the infiltration of activist groups or faith institutions by the FBI, which has been happening unapologetically for the last 10 years. The use of domestic drone aircraft to surveil and spy on Americans without individual suspicion. You know, not the NSA, but the same abuse of the same constitutional rights, or for that matter, the uses of drones abroad to kill U.S. citizens without trial, right? These are all issues that relate to the balance between executive power on the one hand, individual constitutional rights on the other, and I do hope and expect that the controversy about the NSA's abuses of hundreds of millions of Americans will force a good deal of skepticism about the range of other ways in which the executive branch continues to abuse the Constitution and undermine our nation's constitutional legacy.
So in the minute we have left here, I'll get a final thought from you, Sam Fados, on where you think this should go after what you just heard Shahid say.
So, I mean, I think that we live in a dangerous world. There really are threats. There are capabilities that NSA has that we need. I think we have, you know, the pendulum has swung far too far in the direction of giving them a free hand. I think we don't necessarily need to eliminate them. We do need to dial this back. We need to say, hey, you know, we need to go back in the direction of when you're putting a wiretap on somebody, which is, you know, what we're talking about on some grand scale, it's because you have some suspicion. You brought evidence. You know, traditionally you brought evidence to the court and said, this is why we now feel justified in violating this person's liberty. Vice the idea that we're all going to be constantly scanned by the government.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being here, and we'll continue this conversation with the two of you and others, because I think it's very critical for us to keep this in the public eye and keep this conversation going. Sam Fados is a former CIA operations officer. We will be linking to his website and all the work that he does and the writing he does. And for his novels, it's good to always have him on the air with us. Shahid Buttar, he is executive director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and that too we will be linking to on our website at steinershow.org. Shahid and Sam, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
And I want to thank you all for joining us today and being part of the Mark Steiner Show these 2 hours in this lovely Baltimore day here, wherever you're listening to us from. We'll come back with a great deal more this coming week. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about the look at Trayvon Martin and some commentaries on people reflecting on what this means for our society as we re-wrestle with what happened there and where we go from here, all coming up this week and more. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Gunnery, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. You can hear this show again and podcast all of our shows and find out information about our guests and the work they do by visiting our website at steinershow.org. You can also listen and download all of our podcasts on iTunes. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, Michel Martin is coming up next. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.